The book of John chapter 17, I want to start from verse 1. Last week, I began to speak about the key of eternal life, or the key to eternal life. I said there is that what we are discussing is the way to enter into eternal life experientially, that is in your everyday experience. And we also said that the eternal life, it's the way by which God produces certain issues for us on the earth. Let's start from verse 1 of John chapter 17. Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you, even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life." Now, Jesus said, this is eternal life. That is, somebody who is going to experience eternal life, this is how he gets it. Once you get this, you already have eternal life. He said, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Notice it again, verse 3. This is eternal life. There is nothing else that is eternal life. This is the very thing that is eternal life, that they may know you, that is the knowledge of the true God, is eternal life. And you cannot know the true God except Jesus Christ introduces you to him. Quickly, now just keep a hand there. Quickly go to the book of John chapter 1. There is something I want us to see from the book of John chapter 1. If you have the Amplified Bible, it would be nice to read it. I want to read from verse 16. Where I really want is verse 18. But as usual, I like to just throw it a few verses back and get it in context. We're speaking about the Lord Jesus. He said, "For out of his fullness," or abundance, this is the Amplified translation, "we have all received, all had a share, and we were all supplied with one grace after another, and spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing." Verse 17 says, "For while the law was given through Moses," I'll jump until I get to 18, "grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now notice verse 18. "No one has ever seen God at any time. The only unique Son, the only begotten God, who is in the bosom, in the intimate presence of the Father, he has declared him," that is, "he has revealed him and brought him out where he can be seen. He has interpreted him, and he has made him known." Now let me read that in the simple way so that we quickly just get what he was saying. What he said is that no one has seen the Father at any time, but the only begotten Son, all right, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him, or he has made him known. Now there's a reason why I read this, okay? Let's go back to John chapter 17. He said, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Now, let me kick off from here. I want to try and connect, make this very plain, and so everybody can relate with it, okay? You know, recently, I was talking with one of our brothers, and he described an experience, the discussion he had with some women who were Muslims, all right? And they were talking about Islam, all right? What Muhammad represents. So he now said that he noticed something, that it appeared as if Muhammad indeed had a revelation, had an encounter. He wasn't saying that it's the way to go. He was just trying to say when he listened to them. So now when he was discussing, I said that's possibly true. I have said this before. There was a time I took upon myself to research other religions, because you see, the only religions I think I was a bit conversant with, apart from Christianity, I knew a bit about Islam. So I just, let me just see what other people are saying. So I borrowed the book on Christian Science. I quickly got bored, all right? I read a bit about Scientology. I realized it was just a big joke. You understand what I'm saying? The one I think I studied a bit, I won't use the word extensively, but more than the other was Buddhism. And then also I got the three volumes of The Light of Truth by Abdul-Rushin. And I read through that. He also bored me very quickly. You'll see the reason in a moment. Though I managed to go through it extensively in Light of Truth by Abdul-Rushin. And then there was a day I was watching TV and I heard an Ekanka man talk. And so I paid attention. And, you know, such things interest me. I sat down carefully. I paid attention. And something said that time really struck me. I've explained it here before. When he talked about the God man, the Mahanta. And I was struck by it. There's a reason why. Because I had understood what the Bible called equality with God before that point. So when he brought that matter up, it was quite striking. I said, oh, these are spiritual truths. So even those who are not real believers, they can have a glimpse of it. Like physics is physics. Anybody can learn physics, all right? It's the application of it that now makes one man different from the other, all right? So I read about the beat. That's the point I'm going to make. Now, after that, I wrote an article, which I made it available here some time ago. I'll put it on our website in a short time when our website reopened. It titled them The Supremacy of Christ. And in that, what I did simply was to explain, now listen to this, why Jesus is supreme to all the other people. And I want you to notice carefully. You will see that in all their search, some people are crazy people. In all their madness, nobody really, all right, ever really claims to be able to introduce people to God personally. Really, none. I noticed something, that what Jesus brought was unique. That brother I was talking with, let me quickly explain what I said to him. So when he was saying that thing, I said, it's possibly true. I said, when I did that study, I had an idea that fellow, Buddha, he must have had an encounter. Now, you must understand something about Buddhism. For years, Buddhism existed. There were no records of his teachings. And Buddhism is older than Christianity. I hope you understand that. It's been there for a very long time. So whatever you see a Buddhist say today, there's no proof that was the thing that the original Buddha taught. And in fact, when I read some of the things that the man was credited to have said, I realized this their practice could not have been what he was saying. All right? Now, so I said possibly he also had an encounter. It's possible. And you see, the Bible says that John the Baptist had the light, and you rejoiced in his light for a season. What that means is this. When God gives one person a light, now this is something you must understand. Oftentimes, those days, people will be reaching out for God. God will speak to that person. And you know this truth, that if I tell you something, whisper it to you, and people have done that experiment in class a lot of times, and I say, tell the next person, all right? And you tell the next person. By the time you get to the 10th person, what you are hearing is different from what I said to the first person. Are you getting my point? So when God reveals himself to one person, when he starts pushing down thing down the line without the Spirit of God being passed across at the same time, the thing gets corrupted after two generations. You are getting what I'm going to explain. Yes, that's it. So I look at it. I said, no, possibly what they are teaching now is not really what the master said at the beginning. And I'm absolutely certain of that. And this is the reason, it's not a matter of possibly. This is why I'm certain. This is what I told the brother then. I said, did Muhammad have an encounter? I said, possibly. All right? I said, but that encounter must have been cut short. I said, because, listen to this. This is the way it is. If he indeed had an encounter, any encounter, anybody, now make bold to say this, and I'm not pulling punches about it at all. Any encounter anybody had after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ will directly have pointed you to the followers of Jesus that you go and listen to them. Are you getting my point? Any encounter you had, all right, before then may have been valid. Because the mistake people make a lot of times is that they think Judaism was the only way God spoke to people ahead of time, before the time of Jesus Christ. But it is not true. It absolutely is not true. Judaism was the way by which God spoke to the children of Israel. And they were not the only ones that knew God. People were far removed from them that had an encounter with God. I told you the story I heard. I think it was Tunde Bakare I first heard tell the story of where Christianity landed in Nigeria. That's in, I think, somewhere in Ogun State. Is it Egbaland or somewhere like that? That before the Christian missionaries arrived, what you call the Ifa priest that we know, they had gathered and they had told the Oba, the traditional ruler, all right, their king, that the gods said that they are sending us messengers and we must be ready for them when they will come. So when the missionaries arrived, they were surprised, all right, at the kind of reception that they got. These people, you think that they are backward, they are bush people, but they were waiting. So, okay, where is the message that God gave you to give us? And they had never heard the word Christ, Jesus, in their lives. I know the story also of why part of Kaduna is Christian. And the reason is because of him. I heard the grandson of that man talk. His name is Ishaya Audu. Ishaya Audu said his grandfather was an Islamic cleric who wanted to know the true God. And he kept on meditating and praying. And one day an angel appeared to him and said to him, take a journey 2 days, 2 days journey towards the south, and you will encounter people coming up towards the north, and they will give you the message of God. That's how the man stopped being a Muslim. He became a Christian. Because as he was moving down, he encountered the missionaries who were coming up. And they said, oh, are you the ones that God sent? And they said, yes. He said, good, what is the message that God has given you for us? And they sat down and taught him the message of Christ. And that's how he went back and taught all his followers. He was a powerful cleric. And everybody related with him, they became Christians. And that's why till today, you see part of Kaduna State is Christian. It's because of one single man's experience. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. So, I've thought about this a lot of times. And I've, you know, many things to prove what I'm saying as very true. So, you see that, I told that brother, I said, if indeed he had an encounter, that encounter was cut short. Because if God wants to show anybody life after Jesus has come, he always pointed you to him. Before him, we know that the Bible says that God spoke in diverse manners, in many ways. All right? So he did not only speak through Moses. He did not only speak through Isaac. He did not only speak through Jacob. There were different ways he spoke into those who were not part of that covenant. All right? And people were living righteous lives who were not near Israel. Not everybody was a wicked soul. Like I say all the time, Melchizedek that met Abraham was not a Jew. Are you getting my point? He was not. The priest of Midian that came and he was a priest of God also that came and spoke to Moses was not a Jew. He may have been related to the great grandfather Abraham, but he definitely was not a Jew. But this one, I'm not bringing all of these things. You see that in every revelation people have had, I said last time we were discussing this here, I said everything had levels. You hear of the heavens and the earth. The heavens and the earth, there are two sides to it. There is a physical heaven, earth, and the physical heavens, the stratosphere, all those spheres, and then the different planes, you know, that we can see physically, that astronomers try to look into. But there is also a mystical side to it. That is, these things are in spiritual realms. There is a realm called earth. The first man is from the earth, Eti. That's what the Bible says. That is, his characteristics are things derived from the lower plane. And then we talk about heavens. That is, there are things that are beyond the earthly realm, and they also are in different levels. And those who practice Eastern religions and all of that, what they've tried to explain a lot of times, the different planes they are in. Even those who are doing Kung Fu, all right, which has a lot of mysticism attached to it, they go in different dance in their black belt. They keep on going from one level to another. And they know, all right? You see, I'll explain something as I'm going on. They know that as a matter of fact, up there, there are different planes and there are different spheres. And I said something last time, that God, listen to this, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, inhabits, listen to this, the heaven of heavens. That is the most high place. That's where you find him. Are you getting what I'm not explaining? That is the place you find him. And if you read around, you see, that's why I can't be fooled. And listen, Christians must be educated, they must be informed. An occultist cannot scare me. He can't fool me. You get my point? Once a man gave a book, I think it was a great message book, so one of my friends, a Christian, and that one, you know, returned it to him, like he didn't find it, and he said, you don't understand things. And I felt like I was wishing him the one he gave that thing to. Let's sit down and talk, because I read Abd Rushin, and I realized that Abd Rushin understood nothing. But you see, most people, including those that go to church, they know less than nothing. So any man that has a bit of light seems to be talking above their heads. Are you getting my point? It's like you can't go to school. You know, you study maybe a lot of science. Okay, let's take medicine as an example. You study anatomy, study physiology, you go back home. All right? Your father that has a PhD, maybe in geography as an example, when you mention, you know, pectoralis major, he trembles. Are you getting my point? There's no big deal about pectoralis major, just a muscle in his chest, but he does not know. So you harass him with the little knowledge that you have. So that's the way it is. A lot of people, they learn a little bit of things, and then they start harassing people. Listen, because those people don't know anything, they're easily intimidated. But God has given me, you know, some privileges. I have read a lot. If I remember, then a friend of mine gave me the book by titled "You Forever" by Lobsang Rampa, who turned out to be a fake anyway. But probably got some scrolls that some people really wrote. I read it. I said, "What is inside this thing that is shacking you up? There is nothing inside this thing." Now listen.
People go out, they practice all kinds of things, and they seem to get results. Listen to this. I said there are planes in there. Are you getting my point? When you tap into one level, you start controlling things that are below your own plane. And then, you know, one day I was listening to radio, just a few months ago, and an Ekanka man was talking. And I said, this is pure foolishness. But to the public listening to him, they think he's talking deep truth. He said, you practice the hue. And after a while, the dream master will take you through dream levels. I felt sorry for him. And for those who are listening to him. Because I said, this is what happens, all right? Like I was saying, this heavens and earth, all right? It's not just physical. There's a mystical side to it. So when men step off the level of the earth, all right, and they step to the level of maybe first heaven, second heaven, whatever it is, to those who are living on the earth, they look like what they call gurus. And all those gurus are actually in those levels. Now, please follow me very closely. The day the Ekankama was talking, I was like, what is wrong with this fellow? That you now come, the dream master will appear to you and take you, oh my God. I said, in those realms that you guys are dealing with, the people that reside there and control people there are called principalities. They are evil spirits. It's not about being a Christian or not. Now, these are facts of life. So when the dream master appears to you, the devil has gotten a hold of you and he begins to show you what he wants you to know. And you see as we go on, that what you know is what determines the level you are operating by, and that's what controls your life. And that's what we're talking about, eternal life. What I'm going to emphasize is the thing about Christ Jesus again. Now listen, I've read it. No, there are some people that are on the lowest level. let me dispense them quickly. They live on this earth. They live by the flesh. Are you getting my point? If it feels good, it must be right. Therefore, if I was watching the Piers Morgan interview Rick Warren, and he was trying to trap Rick Warren into a corner on how you fell in love and you married your wife. Well, if the person you fell in love was a man, uncle, what is wrong with that? Of course, which you know is absolute nonsense. Because if you start talking about the issue of consenting adults, there's one woman who wanted to marry her grandson. There are two consenting adults. Yes, this is real story. There are those on that level. Everything is flesh. Let us eat. Tomorrow we die. Are you getting my point? Everything is flesh, flesh. That is the lowest level. Those are the people that sit down and wake up in the morning. I say, I want chop, Joe. They will just tear the person's hand, chew them. That's vegetable for Satan. I don't even want to talk about them. Christians who behave like that are said to be carnal. Those people are said to be natural. If you're operating only by physical level, and we'll see as we go on, please be very careful. That's why the fact that something appears true, or, you know, like a friend of mine stumbled to my office yesterday. Yinka was there with me. He said, hey, pastor, you know, they say I don't have investment. Oh, I don't have investment. And, you know, there was a time it was raining everywhere. You know, if you enter a Christian bookshop till today, half of the books are spiritual, half are business. You know now? I sound that warning again and again. Be careful as a true believer. Because those things being taught in there, all right? If you're going to listen to my series on radio, Foundations and Pillars of Financial Prosperity, I explained something. That you see, foundations are invisible. Pillars are visible. The good people teach you pillars. But you don't erect a pillar except you have a foundation. But the point I want to emphasize is that even though those things appear true, they are at a plane that is far inferior to where God expects Christians to operate from. I'm going somewhere, please. Follow me closely. So he said that life has different planes. What you know, now, I'm back to it. What you know is what determines the plane you are operating from. And no matter which level you are operating from, you are still subject to the power of the devil. Unless you go above him. Please, I hope you are following my point. Listen, even angels passing those areas, sometimes they encounter difficulties. You know the story of Daniel, who they sent an angel to. 21 days, the angel was trying to find a way to pass. When the road not clear, 9 sent for reinforcement. They had to use Ogboju. How much more human beings that don't have a Ogboju inside them? Who Michael is not fighting on their side? That is why no matter how smart you are in investment principles, you can never beat Bernard Madoff. Remember Bernard Madoff? A top Wall Street investor that scammed the Americans, predominantly and Europeans, of tens of billions of dollars. And they thought they were good with investment. These were people who had their future secure. But the Bible makes it clear, Jesus was speaking, that there is a place where moth destroys and thieves do break in and steal. No matter the knowledge you think you have of the business world or planning for your future, that knowledge only puts you at a plane hanging somewhere between the physical realm and the first level of the heavenlies. You are not safe. You are not secure. But what am I trying to preach? So you see all these people that are having different lives. They went beyond that. They went to levels that common men don't know. And common men start worshipping them. Listen, I feel like just sitting with it because to help Christians. Today's day, well, it's not new. Kenegan said it's not new. But this in Nigeria today is very common. There are a lot of spirits that hang around the lower heavenlies. They call them familiar spirits. They normally connect with human beings like juju priests. You understand my point? Dibias. A lot of who have bought suits. Suits are sold in the market. You can buy it. You can shave your head nicely. You know, have a nice perfume on. Cram a message and come and say you're a pastor. You can even go to a Bible school to get a certificate. A lot of those guys are now there. They will now come and be doing razzmatazz for people. Operating with the knowledge that familiar spirits give them. But this is how you test them. This is my own test of it. This is the final test. Listen to such a man. And this is where we are going. Does he connect me with the face of Christ? He will try to solve your problems. The fact is that evil spirits cause problems and some of these men negotiate with them. You are holding his finances. Okay, release his finances. All right? Kill his children. I'm serious. They do that. They do. I've encountered many. I remember my friend used to teach for a white garment church in their Bible school. So I used to go and see him in the evenings. So they'll be giving me gist of what goes on inside the church. And a nice car would drive by. I said, that man is a very rich man. He has been delivered, they told him. How did they deliver him? I don't know. But now he sleeps on the pew in the church because he has been delivered. I said, this is bondage. How can you call that deliverance? How do they catch people like that? It's simple. They give him word of knowledge. Now, word of knowledge can be real. God gives words of knowledge. Are you getting my point? But people who operate in certain planes also can contact some of those things because they have what they call familiar spirits. They tell you about your life. They tell you why you came. At the end of the day, they have an arrangement in negotiation with the evil spirits. They release you on one side. Why grab me on the other side? But like I say all the time, this is another way you test them, whether they are real or not. Any man, listen to this. There are two ways people get delivered in Christianity. Number one, you are a non-believer. Are you getting my point? And then you give your life to Christ. That is it. Number two, God will show you that which you did not know. So that now you will know it. Like Jesus will say, go and sin no more. That is, there is a way you were walking. It was not bringing you a blessing. Stop walking like that. You will read through the scriptures. There was never a time God accused your enemies of being responsible for your spiritual bondage. As believers, no. My people perish for lack of what? Simple. So one way by which you know fake preachers or ignorant ones. Sometimes good Christian preachers may be ignorant. This is one way. I give it to you again in case you did not know it before. Once they point fingers, all right? Or point a finger at anybody, as that is the source of your problem. Say, Pastor Banky had warned me against people like you that you don't know anything. Grab your Bible and walk out. Like I said jokingly, they said, there are people who don't like you. Tell him, is that news? You. Does everybody like you? They say that the day you were getting married, some people were sad. Of course, the guy who wanted to marry the babe, why won't he be sad? Why won't he be sad? He said that, you see your mother-in-law, she was not smiling. Yes, now. Your husband, there was another guy. a girl she wanted him to marry. So why do you think he should not be rejoicing? You've seen them on TV all the time. They do it all the time. If your stomach is doing buru buru buru, who has eaten plenty of beans? Whose stomach did not do buru buru buru? They start lying to people. Listen. The Bible says, they now heal the heart of the daughters of my people slightly, saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. Why is there no peace? Because the real source of their problems, they have not yet handled it. Let me say to you again, all those are lower plane manifestations. They are exchanging you between one devil and another. True preachers, true pastors, true deliverance ministers don't care who bound you. They don't want to know. They don't want to know. If you are an unbeliever, they say, give your life to Christ. If you're a believer, they take the Bible and show you the light of God that has really set you free before now. Another thing, they call you forth towards a deeper walk in righteousness. That's all there is to deliverance for believers. If anybody points an accusing finger, it's your grandmother, it's your wife's uncle, it is your cousin, they are jealous of you, tell him you don't know anything. The person is lying. I make bold to tell you again that they are lying. He said, but I dreamt. I've told you life has different realms. That's what I'm going to emphasize. That's how they come with all kinds of stories. There is the earthly realm. There's heavenly realm one, realm two. Are you getting what I'm saying? There are different substrata even with those realms. People just stumble around and they come and start using that one to confuse Christians. The issue about Christianity is this. We're reading just now. No one has seen the Father, but the only begotten Son has made him known. That is, we go up to the level of God. And he said, how do they tap into eternal life? He said, I show them the true God. I don't show them their enemies. So. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. This is how they enter into eternal life. They get the knowledge of the true God. And that's why Jesus is unique. Amongst everybody that came and said they are leading people spiritually, he was the only person, and is still the only person whose followers make that claim, that he can personally introduce you to the Father. He said simply, this is eternal life. This is eternal life. Listen, I said this before, let me say it again. Christianity is not about struggle. It's about discovery. It's about understanding. I said in the realm of the spirit, power is from what you know. Are you getting my point? Power is what? From what you know. From what you know. That's what power is. And that's why the Bible says the people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Ultimate power, if I'm using that expression, is from knowing God, the true God. People have small knowledge. Listen, I've observed them. All those things that people do. You go somewhere, for those who do such things, we have a problem in the family. And they've carried it into what they call Christianity now, which is not Christianity. It's sanctified idolatry. If I'm going to use that expression. They come and say, you will sacrifice a goat. People who live only in the natural realm, they laugh, say, how can the sacrifice of a goat solve your problem? You see, if you talk like that, you don't know anything. There are only two ways to talk like that. In fact, there's only one way that you can talk like that and you'll be right. If you have been introduced to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not laughing because it is ridiculous. You are laughing because it's inferior. I don't know whether you caught what I said there. You know, some people say, hey, they don't believe in witches. I said, listen, wait till they chew your liver for breakfast. You will believe in them that time. But people like me that don't believe in witches, not because I'm saying they don't exist. I'm saying, let them start eating now. They will see who will die first. So I laugh and I don't pray about witches. Are you getting my point? So when a man, you see those sacrifices they make at junctions, they kill goats. There is a spiritual reason for it. If there was no spiritual reason, you would not have found it in the old covenant. You will find that Noah did it. In fact, I've heard people explain how people before Noah, they did it before Noah. That's how come he knew to do it. And you hear of God smelling a sweet savour. Are you getting my point? Those things are, no, come on, they are real, they are real. They are real. They are real. I've heard testimonies from men who have encountered such things. They are real. And that is what confuses people who don't know about the ultimate, which is in Christ Jesus. When people are in those levels, they tap into some spiritual power. Yes, they do. You join Ogboni, you will get some power. Ah, come on, you will. You will. And what I'm going to say, you don't even have to join Ogboni. You can sit in your house, get a book, read it. And one of the ways by which men who practice such things in different kinds of religions, one of the ways by which they do it is they prescribe arms for you to go and do. You know they do that. You want to see it in the Bible, it's there. Go and find out what Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar when he heard of judgment coming. Daniel told him, so boy, it's time to start doing good. Peradventure. You know, it's the same thing an Islamic cleric would tell him today. That your soul is in danger. Say, what must I do? Say, quickly, do you have any slaves in prison? Yes. Set them loose. Quickly, how much do you have? Take it, go and give to the poor. These are manipulations of spiritual powers. They work. And you see, this is the reason why I get angry. Those of you who have listened to me long enough, when Christians start preaching that same thing too. Say, if you have a problem, go and sow a seed. It's arrant nonsense. You may as well be a Muslim. That is manipulating powers at inferior realms. What Jesus did is simple. If you have a problem, ask the Father. Go beyond all these realms. Just talk to the Father. Go beyond all these manipulations. Talk to the Father. He said, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son of God, he has made him known. Derek Prince said the name. Let's talk about the name of God briefly. Last week, I was making a joke about it. When we talk about Israel, is your music, make a dish key or something like that. It's a Hebrew name. But God does not, God doesn't speak any language. You understand what I'm saying? He's just God. Every language is part of him. God is not Portuguese. You understand what I'm saying? He's not Hausa. Does not speak Swahili. He's just God. When he utters, you will hear him according to the language you understand. As when people tell me that, go and practice how to hear the voice of God. I said, look, leave that thing. Leave that thing. You don't need it. I'm one preacher that does not believe in that thing. So go and practice how to hear God's voice. Go and practice obedience. Go and practice humility. Go and practice study and meditation on the word of God. How to hear his voice, don't worry. When he needs to shout, he knows how to shout. When he needs to whisper, he knows how to whisper. When he needs to slap you to get your attention, he will do it. Don't think God is afraid to raise his voice. He can. The only problem is when you refuse to hear, so it doesn't bother. Any language, you understand, that you speak, when God utters, are you getting my point? What happens is that that thing is interpreted inside your senses as if he's speaking your language. Why am I saying this? Names, therefore, God doesn't have a name in a particular language like Christians say that Allah is not God. Allah is God. Listen, if the only name you know to describe the Most High is Allah, when you become a believer, he will accept the name from you. That is why, listen, the way we know God today, the Yoruba man did not know him like that. So he had the name to the unknown God. He called him Olodumare. He didn't have a shrine to him. He had a shrine for Ogun, for Batala, for Oya, for all those kind of small gods. But the biggest one had no shrine because he did not know how to contact him. And it's in the scriptures. There was one to the unknown God. And Paul said, that is the one I want to tell you about. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? So when I'm talking about God's name, get that point. God's name, listen to this, is simply the revelation you have of him at that time. You know, Jehovah's Witness go around trying to persuade you that God's name is Jehovah. It's unnecessary. That was the name by which he introduced himself to the Jews, to the nation of Israel. I hope you're following what I'm saying. That was the name. And the reference says something. That the ultimate name of God that nobody knew until Jesus came. Listen, it sounds simple. He said this was a name that nobody understood God by until Jesus came. And that's the name, Father. You would have thought it was simple. But the truth is that nobody had that relationship with God so as to call him Father. Because Father has a lot of things inside it. They were used to calling him Adonai. Adonai means Lord or Master. They understood him as a master. But you know what a father is? I sit down and my son comes to, maybe he wants to greet. He could prostrate and greet. I've taught him that. But sometimes he doesn't prostrate. He just collapses on my body. Doesn't say a word. He just collapses on my body and puts his head there. And does not say a word. My daughter is very good at that. I see that I'm reclining. She just comes and stretches on top of you like that. And puts her head down and does not say a word. When you say father, that's what it means. Are you getting my point? Nobody explained God ever. Because I like the way Amplify said it there. He said, the only begotten Son of God has explained him. The Red Prince said, nobody ever explained, I'm using the word explain now, God as Father until Jesus came. Please, I hope you are getting my point. Remember what I said? That in the realm of the Spirit is what you know. That's what gives you power. A man goes to a shrine. There's no special spirit that is there. Believe me, there's no special spirit. It's just that the man who knows some things in the realm of the spirit, that's where he stays. That same man can go under a bridge at 12 noon. If he has the quietness of his soul, he can connect with that realm of spirit that he's used to. Because of what he knows, he has spiritual power that people tremble before him. But I'm saying to you again today, the ultimate power comes from one thing, and that is the knowledge of the true God. It doesn't come from struggles. Most of the knowledge people have below that realm, it makes them struggle. One problem I have today in Christianity is that most of the messages I hear, they are not pure. Because the true message of God, when you deliver it, it appears sometimes so foolish. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. Like now I'm talking and I say, what must we do to be saved? Or no, what must we do to do the works of God? Jesus said the work of God is believe and then go home. That is, you came today, you carry your cutlass, your hoe, you bring everything, your hammer, your cheese, you say, we have come to church. God, we are going to do something for you today. You brought your checkbook, that's more current, you know what I'm saying? We will do something dangerous for God today. God say, all right, all of you want to do something very dangerous on this side. What is the dangerous thing we will do? Sit down there. I am God and there is no else. Believe that. Say, we believe. Say, you can go home. You have worked today. Are you getting my point? Listen. The knowledge of the true God. That's what I'm preaching. That is the source of real and ultimate spiritual power. I was saying something about God's names before. God does not have what you call a name like, I'm sorry, I'm not trying to be critical of Jehovah's Witnesses, but they are the ones that do it. They go and say, this is the name of God. Or my friends, the Ekis, Hugh, have you Hugh, whatever. They have one kind of, you must say that who. No, some religions belong to secondary school alone. I don't know why they try to preach them to adults. Because the name of God is simply the revelation of him that you have. That's why I said last time, there is Jehovah the programmer that Moses did not know about because he never saw a computer. There is a surgeon part of God. When men were only healing people by herbs and all of that, they didn't understand that part of him. Ha. I pray we understand it. You will have known that there is Jehovah the anesthetist. Or let me put it, without using the word Jehovah, God the anesthetist, who caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam. Did the surgery on him and then leave a scar? Listen. Oh, I pray you get what I'm saying. There's no profession in life that God did not do first. And if that's your line in life, seek his face till you understand him there. You'll be outstanding in anything you do. You would design buildings. People would say, is this one from heaven? And you would say, yes, it is. Do you know who drew the plan for the temple, for Solomon's temple? You know who drew the plan? But which human being drew it? David. First of all, the Bible was what? A shepherd, musician, warrior, king. When did you hear he was a builder? But when the revelation of God, the architect of the temple, came upon him, he drew a building nobody on earth could surpass. I hope you're getting what I'm saying. That's what I mean. That, you see, let me. I feel like saying this again about occultism and Christianity. It's important. Occultism is foolishness. What did I call it? Let's take medicine as an example. It's as if somebody has malaria. You know the way people do it. Let's talk on the natural level. We're not talking about prayer. We're just talking about medical treatment of malaria using, say, a drug like quinine. A doctor comes and says, you have malaria. This is the dose of quinine that I will give you that will work. You take it this number of days, this number of times a day. Don't go below this level. Don't go above this level. And your grandmother from the village comes and says, this doctors, they don't know it. Those days, we used to go to the dongoyaro tree and we'll pluck it and cook it. Then the juice inside, once you drink it. You know what you tell your grandmother simply? Grandmama, don't worry about it. This quinine is the same thing you used to drink without knowing the dosage. Effective and the lethal dosage, quinine can stop your heart. All right? You don't know the one that kills? And when you boil that thing, there are at least 5,000 other chemicals that are unnecessary, which you drink along with the side effects. That is, I'm not saying, you see, people think that modern medicine doesn't know. No, we are saying that they too, they drank it. Quinine was extracted from the same place as your great-grandfathers were extracting it. Except that these people took it to the lab, removed the simple thing that's working, and let the rest go. Now, are you getting what I'm trying to paint here? So you see that harvesting the tree and cooking it is foolishness in the light of the fact that a modern person has taken the thing you want from it and put into a small tablet and said, take this quinine. I hope you're getting what I'm going to explain. I hope you're following me. Let's get back to the spiritual lesson. That's how occultism is. Join a cult, and that's why Christians, I don't like this modernized occultism we call Christianity. You can't sleep at night because you want to pray. And before you pray, there must be a seed in your hand. Listen, this is not Christianity. This is occultism. I'm telling you the truth. Nothing leaves God's hand until something leaves your hand. I don't know why we just open our mouths and believe lies. We tell lies and we open our ears and believe them. Things are glaring in scriptures. They will start telling fantastic stories. That's how I was preaching the other day. As I said, the woman said, God, this is the only car I have. What will you do for me? God said, bring her first. You know me, I'm a preacher. This ministry spends millions and millions of naira every year, and it comes from offerings. And I expect good Christians to be good givers. But the point I'm making is this. We don't get from God because of it. One man wrote me a mail. Well, wrote us a mail. Kingdom what? How he gave. And that he's confused right now. Israel, I showed it to you. He's confused right now. Because he commanded the blessing of the tithe upon that. He lost two jobs in one day after he has packed the offering and the tithe and confessed upon it. Oh, you know, Christian, they won't leave it alone. Do you know why? The power of the flesh is what we like to hold on to. Let me quickly drop this one for you again in case you did not know it before. If you want anything from God, what do? You ask. You ask in faith, nothing wavering, no doubt in your heart. And make sure you are not asking because you are competing with somebody. My friend has bought, I want. That kind of thing. James said, you won't get anything. Say, Pastor Mike, what about offerings? What about giving? A true Christian is a cheerful giver. I've never sowed a seed into my children's lives. Have I? We are paying school fees right now. I know how much I'm coughing out for a number of children that live in my house. None of them is a seed. All of it is a duty. It's a responsibility. If I don't do it, who will do it? My late father? Who will do it? I'll come and say, please, I want to pay my children's school because the money I gave you, what was it for? Giving for a Christian is like that. If you love the word of God, you will give towards the propagation of it. If you appreciate what God has done for you, you will use money to say thank you. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? If you see somebody who is in need, you will give to him. Manipulating spiritual forces by our offerings is inferior. That's what I'm talking about. It's like cooking your tree back again to get quinine out. The real medicine has been purified. The real medicine became flesh and dwelt amongst us. The real medicine introduced us to the Father. The real medicine died that we may be able to approach God and lie on him like my daughter would do. He just lie down there. As if maybe your body is hot. Is your body paining you? Yes, daddy. That is, there's nothing like heal me and I will serve you. My daughter has never said, only my children said to me that, daddy, if you just miss this pain, go away. I'll be your son for life. Who? I'm telling you, Christianity is not what we hear preach a lot these days. If my children even compete on who will fall sick for one reason sometimes. Because once you are not well, you sleep in my room. So just come, daddy, touch. Because if the judgment is warm a bit, so where's my space? The stretch on is a healing bed. So it's a healing bed. There's no commitment made. Once I get well, you'll be the correct daddy. I'm the correct daddy whether you are sick or you are well. Your mother can't change who's responsible for this pregnancy. Are you getting what I'm saying? Your seed is not going to change it. Say, daddy, as I do this one, I'll know you are, as you do this one, I know you are the real daddy. I said, don't forget that one. Go and ask your mother. She knows. Which is what we try to do. God has been introduced to us by Jesus Christ as what? Father. You have a problem, just enter into his throne room and lie on him. Let him feel that you have a financial headache. You have an emotional fever. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? He will touch it, he will feel it. And the Bible says he's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Why do we behave like we are orphans? We behave like we are orphans. Who they have put somewhere for one man we don't know to take care of, and we have to do everything to please him before we can get anything. Many people pray every morning because without it, there's no prosperity. They don't love prayer. They are not getting anything from that word. Nothing. Just that one man somewhere was saying that every day I used to wake up to pray. Then one day revelation opened. And then I saw the business I would do. I became financially prosperous. They go home, say, praise God. We have learned the method. Once they say it like that, they fall from the third heavens. They drop below. They get to a place where they have to be contending with evil spirits. They have to be contending with the prince of Persia. They have to be contending with all kinds of spirits. So we step into a place where, of contention, where Satan has a very strong force. He can withhold our angels from manifesting. Why? Because we want to pray. Say, Lord, remember, this is my checkbook. We'll check it. There's no time. There's no time that my title was not complete. This year is my year of breakthrough. Because it was complete. This shirt you are wearing, the day they gave you, did it tear your shoulder for me? Ah, you want to collect title of shirt? He said, yes, now. Bring the whole tithe. It's the whole tithe. It's okay. After this prayer, I will settle that one. Say, Lord, there's no time. Look at my checkbook. All my money. Now you are the giver. Wait. Me, always. Let me show you something. The day you collected, like, did you not send the money to your brother? Quick, so you can pay school fees. Was that the first one? Say, Lord, why they talk like this? Now solve this problem. Now be alpha. He was in us. Now, so you for talk first. This one of calculating what you have done, it does not work. It takes you from the third heavenly realm, drops it to a realm where we'll be contending every time with evil spirits. Just walk into the throne room and lie down. Pam! Financial fever. Lord, treat. Why? Because the only begotten son has revealed him as what? Father. And what you know, I said, is the power of the realm of the spirit. It's not what you do. I pray you get the point. It's not what you do. For us believers, doing is an outward expression of what we know. Do you get my point? Doing is just the outward expression of that which we know. It's just a natural expression. What we want in life is to know. I was saying earlier, let me connect back that back. What we want in life is to know the name that our Father bears under every situation. And when I say name he bears, don't forget, it's not a language. You know, Lord, what's your name? Say in that place, no, I'm not Megidishki, I'm Kakabashku. And for information, the Megedishku and the Shikenu and the Jireh, all those things that you call, they are the Hebrew words for simple things. It's like me coming to pray, say, oh Lord, thou art the most high God, Jehovah Olupese. Olupese is a Yoruba word for provider. I don't know why you get my point. It doesn't make you spiritual. It just means you speak Yoruba, that's all. But when you say, oh, when Pastor Bank is praying, my God, there's an anointing with which he calls God down. Last time I heard him say, Jehovah Olupese. Then you go there with your Igbo accent. You now come. He say, Jehovah Olupese. And God say, who are you talking to there? He said, foolish boy. The guy just said, God the provider in his language. Talk your own. It was not feeling very spiritual because we are speaking Hebrew. Bad Hebrew with bad tongues. You get when I'm talking about the name that God bears, what I mean is that your recognition of the power he holds in that regard. There are those that think that once it's America, God doesn't go there. So he does not know how business is done abroad. So my business cannot extend beyond the shores of Nigeria. I say this to you all the time. It's one of the problems. You know, if you hear people talk, I've seen it a lot. You know, Nigerians generally, listen to this. When they emigrate abroad, generally, I've given this as an illustration again and again because it's so true. Generally, when Nigerians emigrate abroad, go and check it. Like I said, generally, it's not a law as it must be. There are exceptions. The doctors tend to do well. They fit in relatively rapidly. After some months, a year or two, they've gotten a job, then residency program. Are you getting my point? And everything starts moving. Most of the times, when the lawyer gets there, he drops his legal degree. The engineer forgets he ever read engineering. The architect says they don't build houses in America. And whatever it is they study, they drop it.
And I say to them all the time, it's a mistake. I happen to have a friend, I've told the story again and again, who is a lawyer. Currently, he's a professor of law at Thurgood Marshall School of Law in Texas. Where, in fact, it was my junior university. That's if you take year for year, all right? We're in school the same time, but he studied law, but he came, I think, about 2 years after me. Why? Because he didn't seem to understand what everybody else understands. He's known that this is what I like to do. I'm good with law. He has a PhD in law. I like to teach. He applied for a job that almost 2,000 people applied for, and they needed only 2 people. He was one of the people they took, and he's a Nigerian. Now, I'm bringing an issue here. A lot of us just think that once if it's Nigeria, we can believe God. Father God, you will set this my profession in the name of Jesus. I'm the head and not the tail. Once you reach America, God, you know, say, you don't understand the way the things they work for this side. So we pray, just open door, sha. Or this legal door, forget it. This engineering door, close it. Because now, are you getting what I'm saying? That the name of God, I'm talking about recognizing the power that God wields in that situation. That's what I mean. That's the name of God. Someone will call him, you know, the Hebrew, say Jehovah Rapha. Forget Jehovah Rapha. Rapha is not something you understand. Just know simply that this my father, there is no disease he cannot cure. That is his name. Oh, I don't know whether you hear what I said. That is his name. The one that is able to cure every disease, no matter the name that the normal human doctor calls it. That one is my father. Listen, I was saying occultism is when men, not understanding that there is a place, the place of ultimate power, where we can go in and just lie down. That's why they come down and try to start entering into cults. Most of those cults is nothing by a social network. It's nothing but social network. I hope you know. Presided over by a man who sees into the second realms of the heavens. Most of the time, in a social network. But those of us that know the name of God, that is where real power is. So tell your neighbor, real power. Now, let me tell you about real power. That is the meaning of the word eternal life. Eternal life does not mean I will live and live and live and not die ever. That's part of it. Everything spiritual has a length, has a breadth, has a height, and has a depth. Are you getting my point? Oftentimes we look only at the length. How long will I live? But there is a width, the breadth of it. We talked about the quality of that life. Are you getting my point? There is a depth. We talked about the satisfaction that I experience living that life. That's eternal life. The summary of eternal life is all the power of God made manifest for mankind. That's eternal life. And he said, this is eternal life. How do they contact eternal life? That they come to the knowledge of what God truly is in their lives. Who the real God is in their lives. So instead of him being the God of the heavens, Jesus said, no. His name is what? Father. And in case you do not know it, Father simply means, like I said earlier, somebody you can walk into his living room while his legs are crossed, watching TV, and just lie down on him and say, diagnose my troubles and solve them. The Jew didn't understand that. They knew a God you had to sacrifice to. Like Job will say, lest my children have cursed God in their hearts, and then God, you're vexed for them. Let's quickly do a sacrifice. They understood that. But a God that loves them, let me tell you something. The amount of God's power that you contact really is the depth of conviction you have concerning his love for you. You know, Jesus raised the dead. This is the interesting part. On what premise? Because he was convinced that there's nothing he ever asked the Father for that the Father does not grant. Read it though. It's there. I didn't invent it. He said, Father, I thank you because I know you have heard me. And indeed, you hear me always.
when he went to the cross, he had to explain to Peter, if I told them ahead of time, things like this don't happen because they want to happen. They happen only because I allow it. Or allow them. So when Peter began to fight, he said, relax. Are you thinking that if I wanted deliverance, I would not have asked the Father for 12 legions of angels? You know what that means? If we have the understanding and the revelation of the power of God, when you want to sleep at night, and they say there are many armed robbers around this area, you just turn your head and say, Lord, 12 legions of angels per group of armed robbers. Are you getting what I'm saying? Are you getting my point? And really, to prove to you that he's alive and well, that prayer, tomorrow you see two groups of people in pieces, that each person will be broken to 12. One hand, they always say, what happened? Say they were fighting amongst themselves. You know, when angels want to manifest, they manifest in funny manners. Those legions that surrounded Elisha, what did they do? They made men that their eyes were open. They made them blind, but not physically blind. They just brought confusion to them, and that was a manifestation of angelic presence. I don't know what I get what I'm saying. That is, if you are convinced, and that's actually this whole series of messages I'm preaching on this eternal life thing, is to stir your heart to go towards that conviction of knowledge, which the Greek man calls epignosis. Not doubting, not like, maybe it will work, let's try this one. People say that, when you've done this, it does not work, try this. I say, no, you don't understand God well enough. He said, when you have prayed and prayed, it doesn't work, try praise. And when you praise, doesn't work, try thanksgiving. Then when I say, you have not understood God the Father. That's why you are trying this and trying that. What am I stirring in your heart? That the quest of your heart, this, no, I said this 2013, that's what you understand, is your year of walking closer to God. It's your year of understanding. It's your year, let me summarize it, of epignosis. Amen. Deep and certain, unshaken knowledge of who God is in every situation. That is, when we understand that, we won't be afraid. Because Jesus says simply, because I understood the Father. That's why he looked to Peter and said, are you telling me you don't realize that if I wanted deliverance, I would have asked for 12 legions. And they would have finished all these people. Please, I hope you're following the point I'm making. Is that knowledge of God the Father as the power he holds over everything, is that conviction you have about it that releases that power in your direction? In the realm of the spirit, knowledge is what? Power. And today again, I've explained it, that there are different levels, so don't let anybody harass you. The Ogboni man has his own level. It's inferior to yours. The Enkaka man tried to struggle into a level where a man comes and says, who? Then he answers, who? Let's walk together in the realm of the dreams. The dream master is a level of confusion. Cheap demons that who have not finished their school certificates are the ones that are controlling those areas. Even principalities don't have time. That's what I think. You see, those men who are conjuring up spirits, they have their own level. But the level that Jesus introduced us to, which was the reason, after I did my study that time, I said, this is unnecessary. Trying to learn all these mechanics is unnecessary. Christians sometimes sit down there, learn the mechanism. See, you wake up in the morning. We do it a lot. You start making, now listen, you must understand what I'm saying. We start trying to use words as, oh God, please get me, I don't want to cause confusion. We start trying to use words as words in themselves. Once I was watching this man on TV, Samson Dinsaka. How many of you know Samson Dinsaka? Nobody go Lagos. We're here. It's Chris Lanhab that time. These guys don't know Jacob. Chris Lanhab. One man decided that the Christians and the Muslims are the same thing. So he said, he started a religion called Chrislam. Then one day he said, let's add the herbalist to it, which is what in the... Yes, I'm serious. So now said the religion is now Chrislam Hab. He had a big church in Lagos. No joke. No be joke. You know that Lagos there? All kinds of demons did there. He called the Chris Lahab. His name was Shamsuddin Saka. He now changed into Samson Din Saka. And he had what they call Today 3 and Today 7. And for those who don't speak Yoruba, it sounds like big occultic language. 2 days Yoruba was for deliverance. The loosening of bondage. Now, why I tell the story is this. Once I was watching him on TV in Lagos, he said, you will tell your mouth. You command your mouth. I said, who teach this, bro? This thing. The same confession. Are you getting my point? That I thought we learned as Word of Faith disciples. And you see those women, say, you put your hand on your head and you will tell your body. And see gyration. It is say if you pray. Chris Lahab, man, was praying. Large congregation. I'm not kidding. Look, I don't know whether he has gone bankrupt now, but after a while, men go bankrupt. But that time, he also had land on the express. Ah, sit down there. So men start engineering those things for this. That is, words. I preach about the power of words. All right? But they start engineering those things as power in themselves. That's not heaven. That's not third heaven level. What is third heaven level? We are echoes of the words of God. Did you hear what I said? Because he has said, therefore we boldly say. That's it. Anything he has not said, we have no business waking up in the morning and declaring it. In the name of Jesus, this cloud, they will shift to this side. In the name of Jesus, the cloud, why are they here? Shift to this side. In the name of Jesus, cloud shift. So if we say long enough, the cloud. You know, when I was in secondary school, somebody told me once that, I didn't know the Bible that I was a child. He said that if you say to this double bunk bed, say so if you can just, you can make it go from here and go there. No, small boy, listen to a boy slightly less small than him. You get my point? All small boys, but that one not small reach me. So after the guy come on, now I look at that bunk, say, boy, you go shift. I begin try. Then some say, no, what you do, you close your eyes like this. I rapidly agree with those things, praise God. Unfortunately, some people think Christianity, that's what it is. No, in Christianity, our words are different. Our words are simple. If he has said, therefore, we boldly say. Our confessions are not words trying to control the earth in themselves. They are the manifestations of uttered judgment from the mouth of God. That if God has said something, what he's saying is, effect is this. My prophets, go down and say it like I said it. Are you getting my point? So Jeremiah will write a scroll and he'll give it to Sariah. And so when you get to Babylon, take the scroll out and read it over the city. And when you finish, roll it up, tie a stone to it, throw it into the Euphrates, and then say, thus will Babylon go down and not rise again. Those were prophetic words that were uttered because God said something. When we start trying to use our own words in themselves, we have come out of the realm of God. Listen, all we want is to experience God. What did I say? All we want is to what? Experience God. Let me just remind us of something I said last time, and I close with it. I said last time that, listen, being heavenly minded does not mean you want to go to heaven. Amen? Being heavenly minded does not mean what? That you want to go to heaven. If I say those who want to go to heaven, put up your hands. Don't bother putting up your hands. Ask me, say, where else can I go? Those are gospels for children. If you want to go to heaven, put up your hand. That's for sinners. Praise the Lord. So you know, it looks like you're applying to go to hellfire. So if you want to change course. But for those who have given their lives to Christ and they are walking with God, it's not a good question. The question is, that where else will I go? Are you saying I have another option? Because I don't have. If I die today, I'm automatically sucked in that direction. No discussion. So when they get to the gate, they'll check whether you committed sin. I'll tell the person to be careful himself. Come on, shift. May I pass? Say, wait, let me check your register. For what? You never hear say Jesus died? St. Peter is not at the gate. He's busy inside. Are you getting my point? Being heaven-minded simply means that my mind interprets the events of life according to the knowledge of God in heaven that I have. That's what it means. That is having the mind that was made in heaven. That's what it means. It doesn't mean this earth is not my home. I'm just passing through. You know, I say to you all the time, this earth is not my home. Amen? Is it your home? Hey, where we disagree is in the passing through matter. I am not just passing through. This is not a road. It's an assignment. It's like saying my office is not my home. I'm just passing through. No. I work there. They expect me to solve problems. I'm currently head of department. So every time my wife's a witness, my phone is always ringing, even on weekends. It's not that this office is not my home. I'm just passing through. No. If you just pass through like that, you just get sacked. Amen? In the same matter, yes, this earth is not your home, but you are not just passing through. You are here to execute God's judgment on the earth. And when you are going, you go back to where you belong. Amen? Amen. But what does it mean to be heaven-minded? To have a mind that looks down from heaven. To have a mind that knows that the plan, that there are contending forces over Nigeria as a nation. And it's war. And this is how we fight. We take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and we declare it over this nation. And with that sword of the Spirit, we beat back the hand of the enemy. Are you getting my point? Like I said to you last time, I went for a meeting, and the man prophesied that pray that this does not happen. If indeed he's a credible prophet, I will pray because God said pray. And how do I pray? It's not that, hey, you know go happen, no. You know go happen, no. No. I take the word of God. Like I said last time, I said, God, you know, it bears a name. God that makes wars cease. We declare your name upon this nation. And then suddenly he starts catching Boko Haram people. You know, drug dealers, armed robbers, kidnappers. Some of them will drive to police station, not knowing they're driving to police station. Please, I'm a kidnapper. I say, what am I doing here? It's a spirit that drove you there. Why? Because we were declaring his name over the nation. I hope you're getting my point. I hope you're getting my point. Being heaven-minded means I don't reason. In fact, there's something I wanted to mention. Let's just read that. Or maybe I can pick up from it next time. That's the issue about righteous judgment. Being heaven-minded simply means I judge with righteous judgment. You find that in Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3. But because of time, we won't read it now. Maybe we'll pick up from it next time. Being heaven-minded means that if you read Isaiah chapter 11, verse 3, he said that he will not judge with the hearing of his ears or with the seeing of his eyes. But with righteousness, he will do his judgment. Are you getting my point? What does that mean? Like in Nigeria of today, you know, tribalism is a serious... If I'm not tribalism now, let me use the word religionism. People sit down, it's them and us. Who is them? North and South. As if most people in the South believe in God. It's very funny. You hear Christians say that, all our brothers in the north, you come to the south and ask them why, so that they leave the Christians there for who? Tell your neighbor, don't be wicked. Heaven-minded people, they don't talk like that. That's selfishness. That's desire for self-preservation alone. And he's the one that wants to keep his life that would lose it. Those who are heaven-minded, they know from the book of Revelations that calamity is on the earth when judgment is pronounced from the heavens. So what do? They begin to ask God for mercy over the land. They ask God for his mercy over the land. They remind God that we are the salt of the earth. And if we will walk in righteousness, this earth must be preserved. That's heaven-mindedness. It's not let me just die and go to heaven. This earth is too bad. That is coward-mindedness. That's cowardice. Afraid. Being heaven-minded means I understand why I was born. And I realized I was not born just to go and buy a nice car. and drive that home at Christmas and get a big title and become an author also. You know what I'm saying? And you now want to take a seat amongst men because you have some extra money in your bank account that you have not spent. And you're feeling important and tough with yourself. No, being heaven-minded means I understand that cannot be life. Being heaven-minded means I understand that I was created to do something. I must impact this life. If I were to die today, somebody should shed tears uncontrollably because a source of blessing has gone. Not, that guy was rich. I need to shop life before he die. Are you getting my point? That is, if I'm extracted from this earth today, a serious vacuum must be created. Because for the period I was here, I was a blessing to the lives of people. Being heaven-minded means I realize how to assess my life. Now, I was thinking about it again. I sent that article out some time ago. How to count your possessions. A heavenly-minded man does not look and say, you have been working for the last 15 years. What do you have? Look at my bank account. I have land. I have one in Otukpo, one in Port Harcourt, one in Abuja, and the house in Enugu is about to finish. In 15 years of work, you don't try. A heavenly-minded person doesn't count possessions like that. A heavenly-minded person counts possessions like this. How much have I been able to bless people's lives in the period that God has given me the opportunity? Even if today I'm working with next to nothing, it doesn't mean anything because I have treasure in heaven. You get the point? That's the person that's heaven-minded. And Christians, let me just drop that. You must reject earthly mindedness. It's called carnality. The Bible says to be carnally minded brings you under the subject of spiritual death. What is carnal mind? Carnal mind is that, oh boy, that guy is doing well. How do you know he's doing well? He don't finish the house for village now. And the one for Enugu almost finished. I heard they don't buy land for Lagos. The guy is doing well. Carnal minded, you'll soon fall sick. Yes, a carnal minded person, you'll soon fall sick. You don't know that God doesn't judge you only for what you do, but for the things you approve. If you say that there's nothing wrong with homosexuality, if he's in love with a man, let him marry, you're dead meat. You and the homosexual are the same. If God is sending people to hellfire for that, he throws you inside. Say, God, but I had a wife, you know, like Barack Obama. He can go and say, Lord, I had a wife all my life. God said, no, but you said they should be allowed to marry. God is right there, my friend. So a heaven-minded person is careful. It's not only how you assess yourself. In fact, the only way you know how you are assessing yourself is how you are assessing other people. Because you are very kind towards yourself, you know that. You sit and tell yourself, I haven't done badly after I did not steal. Amen? Yeah. The righteousness has been my portion inside my poverty. Amen? You are very kind to yourself. But you turn to your cousin. Don't mind him. Since he went to America, he has not even bought a car. Don't mind him. Useless boy. You got abused and why? He never buy a motor. It's a way of telling you that's how you are assessing yourself. That's your real mindset. You know, my friends, those days, they used to work somewhere. If you enter their office, when they want to check you, when they go, they'll go down and peep. The car, their office was upstairs. I was there with him one day. So, waiting. Now the motorway bring up. Why you call them make noise like that? And you see them fighting. One of my friends, the other day, I told him, oh, boy, don't try it. She's going to buy a G-Class. I said, why? He said, because you make a statement with it. I said, a naked Adam can get any job. I hope you know that. If the glory has not departed from you, you will get a job. You can be a slave in prison if you have the thing. Are you getting my point? They will call you and make you prime minister. You can go there in an old Corolla. If you open your mouth and glory comes forth, you will defeat those who came with their Rolls Royces. That's a heaven mentality. That's what? A heaven mentality. Let me end with this gist I heard the other day. I don't know whether I said it here. Omar was preaching. He told the story from 2 Kings chapter, is it 5 or 7 now? The story of the lepers that went to the camp of the enemy. And then now found everybody had disappeared. He said those men ran away because they heard a sound that they thought that they had gone to hire a bigger army against them. He now made a statement. He talks on relationship and marriage, so that's why I want to repeat it. He says, some people who go and buy motor, they want to impress a woman.
They change their clothes, everything, because they want to impress a woman. He says, it's not what you are saying. It is what God makes the person hear. I said, this is revelation. It's not what you are saying. It's what God is causing them to what? To hear. You can go there and blow bad English. The guy will say, anytime he's talking, yeah, I'm so excited. Meanwhile, the people that God did not ordain, they will say, see the kind of English way they speak, self. You can go there with a bad motor car. And the guy will say, this guy, even the small car he has, he's so excited. Oh God, he's just full of life. My friends will say, That is not what they are saying. It is what God causes them to what? To hear. Understanding that is part of being heaven-minded. I hope you've gotten my point today. If you are blessed, they shout a loud amen. Yeah. Let us bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you.